And welcome to The Catalyst. My name is Stuart Takahara. I am the Vice President of Membership here at the Long Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. And today we have a really exciting episode. We're going to be talking about marketing and asking the tough questions every business owner needs to be asking about their business. And our special guest today is creative director, filmmaker, and entrepreneur, Matt Bardos. He's been a trusted and reliable creative leader for over 35 years, beginning his career doing lighting for movies and TV and commercial projects, and has even made his own award-winning films. He has since transitioned into branding and creative direction, guiding energetic startups, refreshing established brands, and creating advocacy for global nonprofits through his new agency called Figure. He resides in Los Angeles and enjoys being a father and giving back to his community as a USA Hockey certified coach, teaching kids and adults how to play hockey. I'd like to welcome to The Catalyst, Mr. Matt Bardos from the Figure Agency.
Thank you. Yeah, so, it's great to be on.
We have a lot to kind of talk about here. First off, the topic today is asking the tough questions about your current business. Why are these so tough questions? What questions are people asking about?
It's a great question. And I think this topic is a great place to start for launching this series, because many times, you know, people who are starting businesses or people who even have established businesses, there are a series of what I call discovery questions, or a period of discovery, where the answers to these questions, I think, are critical to affect every component of the business. So not just your, if you make a product, it's not just your manufacturing, it's not just your packaging, it's not your marketing, it's not your sales, it's not customer service and all those things. It affects all of it. And I think if you don't have answers to these questions when you're starting out, or at least with a current business, if you can't answer them, sort of quickly and understand what those answers mean, you're sort of hamstringing yourself as far as the business goes. And so when we work with, as you mentioned, you know, I have started my own branding and advertising agency. It's a small shop called Figure here in Los Angeles, Long Beach area. And when we work with a new client or even one with an established business, we often go through a discovery period to get things started. And that discovery period involves, like I said, a series of questions that, you know, that we want to get through to learn from that particular client, what their business is, what their intent is, the current state, or as they're developing what it is, so that we can start to put together a picture to develop a branding package for that particular client and moving that into further phases.
So what are these questions that you're asking these clients that you're working with?
So there's
on this new discovery.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit bespoke to who we're talking to, but in general and preparing for this discussion, I came up with sort of a short list of roughly about 7 questions. We may not have time to kind of discuss them all today, but the one that we always start with is, why did I start this business? And I know that sounds like kind of a really basic thing for a business owner to want to, you know, to be able to answer, but oftentimes it's a hard question, because when you start a business and you having to deal with so many different things and you get in the, and I'll use this phrase a lot, but the fog of war of kind of running a business, you often can stray and get away from the reasons why you started it in the first place. And oftentimes this is reflected from a brand perspective in the origin story or an about us section of a website, right? So this is the how and why of why you started the business. Understanding the origins of the business can give it it gives it a more meaningful purpose and an authenticity that customers can relate to. Not only your customers, but also if you have employees, a purpose for them. So they understand like where the business started, how it started, and why. And that origin mm-hmm. story is often composed of kind of some simple points. First, you know, how did your passion or interest begin? Oftentimes businesses are started because an individual either has a passion to do something like making a great cup of coffee, or there's a problem that they want to solve, which is the second point. You know, if you come across something that you're a problem that you're trying to solve for yourself, whether it's, you know, I came up with this certain tool to fix this problem that I was having because there weren't any tools like that in the marketplace, or a service. If you're a service-based business, it's important to figure out, well, why, what was lacking? What part of that service industry was lacking that you felt needed to be filled and motivated you to want to start your business? Another point from that origin story is, how did the business grow? So, you know, it started as an idea and then you worked on it in a certain fashion and it grew to a certain point, whether you had one customer or 500 customers or whatever. How did it grow into that? And then ultimately, that story sort of completes itself by outlining what the future of what you want that business to do for the customer and the need that you want it to service. That's a general place to start. I can run down, Stuart, I can run down kind of some of these other questions, or do you want to elaborate on that a little bit more?
You know, I think it's an interesting point because as an entrepreneur myself and having businesses in the past, you ask yourself that question, why did I start this business? It might change from the first year or the first day that you started it. Versus like maybe 2 or 3 years into your business, you know, your questions may change as you, or the answers to the question may change depending upon what phase of the business you're in.
For sure. It should be noted that often that question is asked like, why did I start this business? You know, there's a measure of, I don't want to say defeat, but there's a measure of like, what was I thinking? What am I doing? And that's why I feel it's kind of important to always go back to that place of like, you do know why. There is a reason why you started it. It could have been you were taking over a family business and you had an emotional connection to that family member that started it. It could be that, right, you know, you were wanted to start a nonprofit because there was a community need that needed more service or needed more help and you felt a passion to want to solve that. You might enjoy a really good cup of coffee and you wanted to start your own coffee shop. I think there are reasons that we go through this because it is a tremendous amount of work. You have to have a passion for it, and that comes from a certain place.
You know, I think that's the one thing that a lot of people will say too is, you know, I have this passion for this thing, but sometimes when you take what you love and you make it your job, you lose the joy in it. And some people say, why did I do this? Like, I used to love doing this. And then they kind of fell out of that passion when it became another just a job or another kind of a thing when we get into that burnout. So questions about just getting into something, it's so hard. It changes all the time. I think even in our own jobs, you're all like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? But then there's other days where you have just that such satisfaction. You remember why you started something in the first place.
That's often where a brand refresh comes into place, right? Like as the business evolves, sometimes that passion and that, you know, the passion for starting it also evolves along with it. And, you know, at those junctures is often where, you know, sometimes a brand revisit or refresh is necessary. I think that moves into kind of the second question, which is, you know, what is my brand type and purpose? There are three components to that. The first would be kind of understanding what your brand type is. And you know, the answers to this question should be fairly easy, you know, to kind of rattle off. But in terms of your brand type, you know, there's arguments against and for a bunch of different types of brands, but we tend to put it in two categories, whether it's personal or corporate. So your personal brand, if you're, you know, an influencer type or someone that, you know, sort of lives and breathes on social media on a platform, that's often your personal brand. And it's based on your individual tastes, your personality, your lifestyle. Or it's a corporate brand where it can be founded by an individual, but it often involves a, you know, a group of people all working together to service what that company's mission and purpose and values are. And then also your business type. So we put that into five categories. Oftentimes, you know, you can add or subtract from that, but is your business a consultancy? So, you know, knowing what type of business you have, is it a consultancy? Do you sell products? Do you offer services? Is it a service type of business? Is it experiential, which is a business that's sort of designed to entertain or influence or transform a customer experience? I would put restaurants in that category. It's an experiential sort of thing. And then the last component would be nonprofit. So, you know, I mentioned that in the beginning of the statement, which is nonprofits. It's important to realize that nonprofits are businesses also. It's just you file a different tax form and you have to report it a little bit differently. But ultimately, there's a lot of the same mechanics for a nonprofit that there are for a business in terms of running it, in terms of marketing it, et cetera, et cetera. So understanding these business types, I think, is important, being able to define it for yourself. And the final piece of that would be the selling purpose. And I think this is a critical component of what is my brand type and purpose, which is what's my selling purpose? Am I selling to consumers? Am I selling to other businesses? Or is it a kind of a mix of both? I'm sure everybody in the audience has heard of the phrases B2C and B2B, right? So business to consumer, business to business. Both of those have very different tracks in terms of the messaging component, the branding component, and how you reach consumers, because you're obviously reaching consumers that are both on different levels, whether it's you're trying to help a business be a better business so that it can reach more customers and service customers better, or you're trying to reach individual customers in order to make their individual, their personal lives better through a product that you offer or a service that you offer. Now, the focus for consumer stuff is based on emotional connection and kind of immediate benefit, whereas business to business is about ROI, right? It's about efficiency. It's about, I'm a business. I have a bottom line. I need to understand what my selling purpose is. Hybrids are, I think, hybrids to me, which businesses that dabble in both, I think, have to be at a certain evolution or higher evolution of the business. I think if you're starting something in your first like 5 years of business, you should solely focus on either business to business or business to consumer, because they both take quite nuanced approaches and they're different in terms of how you set them up and how you run your business to reach them. If you have more experience, put 5 years in, put 7 years into being a reaching, you know, customers. And then if you feel at that point, you can assess and realize, all right, maybe we want to reach business to business now. We want to offer some of those services where it makes sense. You can take all that experience you learned from your consumer approach and relearn and apply it and adapt it to your business approach. So that's kind of the second point that we work through.
We're talking with Matt Bardos from The Figure Agency. We're talking about asking the tough questions about your current business. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, you run a business out there, you have questions about what do I need to know about my business, or maybe I lost focus or direction, we're asking you to chime in. Drop your comments, drop your questions in the chat. We'll be able to take those live as we're kind of going through here. So if you have something you want to know, or you have a question about clarifying your business or trying to figure out, hey, I was here, but things are slipping, or maybe you just lost your passion for what you're doing and you kind of want to talk through it, just drop your comments in the chat. And then we'll be able to take these questions and get to these kind of items, because that happens a lot. People sometimes just fall out of passion for their business and they kind of go, what do I need to do? What can I do to get that love and get that energy back?
You know, I think it's important too, like you said, for the audience to realize that even though you and I are talking here in this format, we're both small business owners and we both understand the ins and outs of, you know, the difficulties and the victories that you sometimes can experience owning a business. So while we may be talking about this subject matter, I think it's important for the audience to realize, like, hey, we can empathize and understand the things you're going through. Another question that we often ask in discovery is, what value does my brand bring? So it's important to identify the different types of value that, you know, you can bring to customers. Sorry, so many screens right now.
Well, and you know, I think that's true. What value does my brand bring? You know, let's talk about competition real quick. And you know, there's all sorts of different companies that are out there doing the exact same thing. You know, we talked about earlier restaurants being an experiential kind of experience or whatever. And I think that's where a lot of businesses really thrive, is by being different. Like, you can go eat anywhere, but why do people go to that specific restaurant? Why do people go to that coffee shop? Why do people go to that bar, to that thing, when you can get food anywhere? You can drink anywhere. You can do all this. So why do they choose to go to your business? I think that that's a value question that you're going to want to ask about your brand, right?
Yeah. I mean, customers seek value, but it's important to realize that value is more than just cost savings, right? You know, you can have competitors and you can offer your thing at a dollar cheaper than the other business, but the other business may be more successful because that customer base is getting more value for that extra dollar, right? You know, it can be, your value can be defined by not just one thing. It can be a whole range of things. Like, and this is not an exhaustive list, but, you know, your products, your services, your expertise, the speed and convenience, security that you offer, timeliness, proximity. You know, maybe you're a valued company and you, you know, one of your traits is environmental friendliness, right? Or you're a health food company and it's all about being healthy. Understanding what that list is, I think, is important. And as an exercise, you should go through and kind of list, just be exhaustive and list, even if they're silly, a full list of what those values are of your business, what you think they are. Maybe ask, if you have employees, ask your employees what they think they are. And then narrow that down to three. So like a top three benefits that, you know, your brand provides customers. And that's a critical step, because ultimately, if you think about the intimacy of a one-on-one sale, even if you're selling to a business with 10,000 employees, it's still a one-on-one sale. Your business is selling to that business. And a one-on-one relationship with, you're selling to an individual customer, you got to be able to tell that customer very quickly, what value you're bringing. And it can't, while it can be similar to what other your competitor brands are, there should be nuance to, you know, pushing that customer over the edge to make it easier for them to make that buying decision. So understanding your value is very important. Some examples of words, you know, that you can use in there, and there's a whole list here that we go through, but, you know, high quality, certified, we have experience, you know, we're insured, we're bonded. You see that with contractors all the time. We're, you know, budget friendly. We're a legacy company. We have high craftsmanship. We're a luxury brand. We're reliable. We're safe. We have high customer approval ratings, right? There's a bunch of phrases you can use in there, but I think understanding what that value is.
So a lot of people may not know this, but I have a background in like marketing and business development stuff. And one of my last, what I call like my big boy jobs before working here at the Chamber, I was head of marketing for a casino. And as you know, for casinos, you got the same card games, you got the same slot machines, you got the same pretty much everything. There's no product differentiation between this casino versus that. But what we did have is we had the players, the gamblers, a superstition. Like they always have this thing, oh, I never play there. I have bad luck there. Or, I always come here, I have good luck. So one thing that we did as a value is we kind of leaned into that. That was something that they had in their mind that we were able to just kind of take advantage of. But more importantly, our value came in the experience. You know, we all have the same product. We all have the same thing. We're all selling the same stuff. So why does someone choose to come to me versus this? And especially in gambling, it's really hard. So I always have this saying, I said, the hardest part of my job as head of marketing for a casino is to get people to come in the door, spend thousands of dollars, give them nothing back in return, and walk out that door and go, wow, that was fun. I can't wait to do it again. You know? And so what is it that's going to separate us from our competitor during that window? And it was all about the experience. It was just all about how they were treated and the memories that they were building. That's the one thing that they stick with them. They didn't even care. They just dropped $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, you know, in 15, 20, 30 hour time. You know, we gave them that itch to say like, wow, I was taken care of. I was seen. I was heard. I had a great time. How fun was that?
That goes back to, you know, the point we made in the previous question, which is understanding your business type, right? So I mentioned experiential. I think casinos would fall right under that category because you're providing an experience. It's entertainment, ultimately. A lot of people don't think of pro sports teams as entertainment, but that's ultimately what they are. You're paying, again, like you said, you're paying a bunch of money to be entertained. I've always seen gambling as entertainment. I mean, some people treat it as like, oh, I'm going to get rich off this. Or professional poker players, right? They treat it as a business. But for the masses, it's entertainment. I'm paying to be entertained for an hour, and hopefully I can make my $20 stretch to, you know, the next 3 hours of fun play where everybody's having a good time. We're throwing dice. We're having a good time playing cards or whatever. So yeah, that's an important, it goes back to reinforcing that point.
And one thing too, we always talked about is not just the money, you know, whether you want to budget $20 for entertainment and go to a movie and you get 2 hours in entertainment that way, or you want to spend $1,000 and go to a baseball game or a basketball game or whatever, you're not just competing for the experience, but you're competing for people's time nowadays. Time poverty is a real thing. They don't have time to do everything that they want to do. So you got to figure out in your business, like that time balance. I mean, there's so many different factors that go into that as well.
And understanding that shapes, you know, if you have that answered in your discovery, that shapes, you know, everything going forward from the messaging that you put together, from your top line messaging of your brand down to, you know, individual market messaging, to the visuals that you want to use to back that up, to, you know, sort of reach and speak to that particular customer base. Like it's all rooted from these kind of answering these discovery questions. The next one would be, and this one seems pretty on the nose, but it's oftentimes a hard one to answer, but who are my customers, right? Or who is this for? Who is this business for? You know, businesses and organizations, they need customers. You know, identifying and understanding your customers' emotions, behaviors, and needs are critical to the success of, you know, whatever venture you're undertaking, right? So it's one thing to offer, you know, from a product standpoint, it's one thing to offer, you know, this delicious bag of potato chips, right? But understanding the emotions, the depth of that. So understanding the emotions that go into, you know, why someone would buy those potato chips and where they would expect to find them and the behaviors that lead towards making that purchase are critical components to understanding who your consumers are. And then from a general sense, and then breaking those down into smaller, more targeted audiences outside of that. And there's, look, we could do an entire 6 months talking about audience research. That's not necessarily what this is for, but it is important that when you're starting things out, or even if you have a business, to step aside from it and really start to assess, okay, what is my current customer base? What do they want? What are they buying? What are they not buying? You know, there's tons of data metrics that you can get from that. And going back to the previous section, understanding your customer base, if you're selling to, you know, business to consumer, B2C, or business to business. If you're selling to business customers, that's a whole different type of customer base and approach, as opposed to, you know, an individual and servicing that need.
So we're supposed to be asking questions, tough questions about your business. And here's one for you. Can you be all things to all people? Like, utilizing your potato chip example, if I owned a potato chip company, I might say, oh, my audience is anyone that eats food. Right?
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a good market, right?
Right. Well, understanding, yes, that's a great point of like, you can't be all things to all people. And a lot of, you know, new businesses want to be that. And I understand that. You have a passion. You want to sell, go back to my coffee example, right? You want to sell coffee to the world. Well, that's great, but you should start by managing your expectations of what it, you know, a specific audience that you're trying to reach first. Become good at that. Become good at servicing that audience's needs. It may be, you know, look, if your business can rely on 20 customers a year and that's enough for you to, you know, have the business that you have, great. Get good at that. Learn from that. You know, ask those tough questions of yourself and get good at it. Because ultimately, in order to expand and reach a larger audience, you got to take what you learn from making something that's small successful into something that's larger and successful. Because every iteration and every evolution of your business beyond where it starts, it has another set of things that you have to learn, of new skills that you have to acquire in order to make that work. You know, understanding your customer base, that changes over time too, right?
Uh-huh.
The customer base you start out with may not be the one that you have in 5 years. It may evolve as your products change, as your products evolve, as if they need to, right? Or it doesn't change in 5 years. And you just, instead of having 20 customers, now you got 20,000 and they're all loyal and passionate and they love what you offer. But it's really important to understand who your customer base is at the start. And then also having the courage later on, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years down the road, to reassess and reevaluate and be like, I don't know if we're really servicing this customer base the way we should. We've got a bunch of people that buy it and that's great, but that's where businesses can get stagnant, right?
And, you know, going on to the next question is, I don't want to spoil it, but the next question is competitors. And when you're dealing with your customers, sometimes your competitors do something better than you do. And sometimes you do things better than your competitors. So when you're looking at who your competitors are, you can look at them like that, but you can also see opportunities for partnerships. You can see opportunities for referrals back and forth, you know, and that's one of those things that we've learned here, like at the Chamber and everyone else. We don't see ourselves that way. We look at ourselves as saying, we don't care where you get involved, just get involved somewhere because we want to see you succeed, you know? And I think that if more businesses learned how to partner with each other, that we would see a uplifting of everybody. Like they say, a rising tide lifts all ships. I wish that we would see more of that as opposed to, because really competition is so broad nowadays. So, and I don't know if you've experienced that or what your thoughts on, those are just my thoughts.
Advertising, 1,000%. Now we're battling robots. Yeah. Yes, totally understand, right? Yes.
Well, I mean, if we want to, let's dive into that real quick, because AI, LLMs, all that has changed the game forever. Like, one of the reasons why if I wanted to hire your agency versus another agency, it would be for you. Your ideas, your experience, your background, your team, your resources, your experience versus another. But now we've got these things out there that is changing. How is that affecting your job?
Tremendously. And I mean, it's
not just you, but in business in general.
It's a weird dichotomy because it is an invaluable tool, that AI specifically, it's an invaluable tool. that has evolved in an incredibly short amount of time, and it just only mm-hmm. gets better with use. That's an arguable point, but
yeah.
At the same time, it's a threat. I mean, it's a real threat and a challenge. But
a threat
you've
to
got two businesses like mine, right? Because okay. ultimately, you can go to AI and ask, "Hey, here's my business. Give me a marketing plan for the next 3 months for this product," and it can spit that out in seconds. Like, it's crazy. And that's incredibly valuable information. And if you follow those mm-hmm. steps, we're, you know, point by point, great. If it turns into sales for you, that's awesome. The difficulty is the quality of the data that you're putting into it, right? And the quality of that data can only come from what you put in there. And so if you can't answer these questions, if you don't understand where you're coming from, it makes it much more difficult to kind of use those tools to your advantage. I think this is a twofold answer for you, but from an agency standpoint, we see it as a valuable tool to use to, I don't know, give us, to just generate ideas, because ultimately it's taking from a pool of millions, billions of ideas and sort of filtering it down based on the filters that you gave it in your prompts, right? Okay, but as humans, we can look at that and follow that advice and develop and refine that device. Or as humans, because we are humans and we understand the human experience, we can take that advice and not use it because it doesn't necessarily reflect the, you know, what we know from human experience and the thing that we're trying to do as a brand. From a, mm-hmm. you also have to realize that it is, from an individual standpoint, it is a very large amount of time to actually have to use AI as a business owner, to use AI to do the things that you want to do. Now, there's certainly, I profess I'm not an expert in it, and I'm sure that you can have guests on here that, you know, can offer like much more simple solutions. But ultimately, coming from my personal perspective, I don't have time to sit down and play around on AI for like 4 hours. If, you know, in order to get this one thing done, if I have to go talk to customers, if I have to go develop new client relationships, if I have to go to, you know, go out for a meeting or have a meeting, you know, a virtual meeting or whatever, it can be very time consuming. And so you also have to take that into consideration. Now, that said, every app that you use now, every platform that you use now, all for the vast majority of them are all starting to integrate some sort of AI component. You see it everywhere. You know, we're in the Google ecosystem and, you know, and you open up a Google Doc and you're prompted in multiple places on every page. Hey, do you want AI to take a look at this? Do you want Gemini to take a look at this? That's fine. And you can do those things, but ultimately it's still taking the time that it takes to do it. And so... Mm-hmm. I think it's a really valuable tool, and we're learning to work with it the same way, comparatively speaking, as we learned how to use the internet, as our generation learned how to use the internet, first generation to use the internet 20, yeah. 30 years ago. You know what I mean? We're learning how to use it as we go. The difference is the speed at which it is evolving. For humans, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know? Ultimately, if your brand building is storytelling, and you can ask AI to help you with that, ultimately, you're going to need a human connection to it and human experience to shape that brand to make it make sense to a consumer.
You know, AI in certain things work great. I was just at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas earlier in January, and it's got AI everything. But some of these are AI in like robot lawnmowers and saying, oh, we know how your grasses grow. We know if it needs to go up or down or cut at a certain height. We know how to do this. But AI, in terms of what you would do or what like the chamber does, it can't really replicate that. It could help, but it doesn't know what it doesn't know. Just like humans, we don't know what we don't know. It knows a lot. It knows a genuine, but it doesn't remember how people reacted to a campaign similar to what you were doing. It doesn't remember people's emotional experiences or emotional state during a particular time that might affect someone's buying decisions or buying habits. You know, it's never going to learn that.
Yeah.
So as much as it gets going, I think AI is going to be a fantastic tool for businesses like yours and the chambers and a lot of them that are out there. I don't think it's fully going to replace it, but we need to learn how to be able to maximize it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say ultimately in this, the conference or the event that you have tomorrow, I think you're going to speak to that somewhat about, you know, marketing and what it means today and all that other stuff. I mean, AI is a massive component of that. It's funny, you mentioned that you went to a trade show and they were just talking, like, large component of that was AI. I just had a friend yesterday talk to me that he just went to a trade show for another, you know, sector, another business. Same thing. You know, it was a 3-day event, and all 3 days, 60%, 70% of each day was conversations about, well, AI, how are we going to use AI to do this part of the business or this part of the business whatever. That's great. But don't discount, don't discredit the human experience, because that's ultimately what shapes the personal, you know, interaction you have with that bag of potato chips or that cup of coffee or that whatever. You're bringing your own emotional, as a consumer, you're bringing your own emotional component to that.
Yeah.
AI doesn't necessarily read that. Yeah.
And you know what else too? People still don't trust AI completely. And I don't know if they ever will. And that brings us to your next point about your brand. Is it trustworthy? Is it credible?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people don't see AI as trustworthy or credible.
Yeah. I mean, that's back to the human experience, because ultimately AI can feel like a threat. And as a human being, that goes right into your like core DNA, right? Like survival instinct. Is this technology a threat in some sort of way? You know, is it going to, you know, the ones on the nose are, you know, is it going to steal my identity? Is it going to make memes of me? Is it going to take my face and, you know, put it on crazy things? You know, it's about identity. It's about personality. And so, yes, I think you have to use it, you know, with that in mind, with that sensitivity in mind. It's very important. Uh-huh. That question of, am I trustworthy? In a discovery standpoint, how we deal with that is, you know, does the customer know they can trust you? And that gets back to, there's different levels of it, but ultimately we talk about things like accreditation, right? You are, you know, you have degrees and you're an expert in this field or this service because you've been trained by whatever. You mentioned in my bio that I'm USA Hockey, you know, USA Hockey certified coach, right? There's a bit of a pedigree to that because USA Hockey's a, you know, large, you know, Olympic level national organization. You have, you know, training programs. You have to go through hours and hours of study. There's credibility to that. And if I were selling hockey coaching, that would certainly be a trustworthy aspect of my relationship to that consumer. I want to go to some of these other points on trust, but you know, degrees, certifications, training, if you got awards, right? That's all about trust. Customer reviews are a big, you know, especially in the digital realm, are a massive component of a brand's success or failure, is customer reviews. There's an entire industry based on developing your customer reviews for your products, right? So that's a massive component of trust. You know, do you have trusted partners, right? Or is your business part of a larger network of businesses or collaborators that, you know, hold value for the consumer you're trying to go after? Do you have key shareholders? Are you a business and you're governed by a board? Like if you're a nonprofit that's governed by a board, which most are, you know, who's on your board? Who are the you know, the influential people that are on your board? And are they going to make a difference for helping your nonprofit, you know, achieve the goals that it has?
Have you ever dealt with a brand or a company where they lost the trust of their customers and had to build it back?
Yes, we had
what does that look like?
It looks terrible, to be quite honest, because you know, when you're in that situation owning a business, it means that you failed. And ultimately that can mean complete failure. So the business is no more. I mean, you're trying to unravel all that mess. Or you're at a point where you're not quite to being completely imploded, but you need to, you know, you're going to have to really reassess and go back and ask these hard, tough questions and make really tough decisions in order to come out of it. If you've lost
Can you come out of it?
Depends. I mean, it depends on your desire to want to come out of it, you know, to you know, right the ship and get things back to being successful. Building customer trust takes forever. Losing customer trust takes seconds. And that goes from like a one-on-one thing. If I've been patronizing a brand for a long time and it's an e-commerce brand and I buy their products because I love them, but I go to buy it maybe once, maybe I give them the benefit of the doubt and I buy it twice and I have bad experiences both times, either with product quality or the e-commerce experience was bad or your pricing was wrong or bad or whatever, I'm going to look somewhere else. And it may have taken that company per individual, they may have had to spend $10,000 to acquire that customer over time. and it takes 2 seconds to lose it. And oftentimes that happens when a business steps away from these core principles, steps away from these core values. It creates a confusing environment for the consumer to have to navigate to where they don't want to patronize it anymore. It's too much of a problem. You know, why are you asking me to fill out another user agreement? I don't want to do that. Like, I've bought 50 things from you. Why are you doing this? You know, little things. And it gets to one of my final points, which is, you know, how many hurdles are you placing in front of your customers? You know, you really
say, how hard is it? Yeah. I always say, like, this company is making it very, very difficult for me to give you my money. You know, it's true. It's like, how many hurdles? You want me to do what now? You got to file another form or is this? It's like, I just want to buy the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll change that perspective a little bit in terms of consumer education. So if you, because we've dealt with this before with clients, but like if you offer a product that is a little complicated to use, platforms are you know, software platforms are critical at this. Like it has to be something that the consumer, if they need to be educated in order to use it, well, how easy is it for them to get educated? How much time are you going to require of them to become educated to use the product effectively and to, you know, to actually have a good brand experience? That's why oftentimes, you know, speaking specifically in the software platform world, if you get into that world, even before you ever touch the software, before you ever make the purchase, you're oftentimes encountering tutorials, right? This is where they're, you know, they'll, as a marketing campaign, they'll go to influencers and have them, you know, use their software. You can, it's endless on the internet, finding it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But, you know, I need to make an informed decision in order to spend my money on your product. How easy is it for me to get there? How easy is it for me to get to that, making that decision quickly? And am I going to be satisfied with it? Understanding the hurdles that your customer needs to get over in order to make that purchasing decision, it's a massive component of discovery. And if you understand those hurdles, and here's another critical point to that, you may not be able to remove all those hurdles. There might be things in there that you don't really have much control over, but you need to recognize it in order to understand what your customers are trying, you know, what they're going to experience and offer solutions. You know, if you can't go through it, go around it. Here's how to go around it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really critical component to understanding, you know, making sure that your brand experience is the one that not only is repeatable on your end, but a desire to repeat it on the consumer end. That's true for businesses as well. From a business to business standpoint, if I use Salesforce is a, you know, as my e-market, my CRM, my e-market, my marketing platform, it is a incredibly complicated piece of software and oftentimes requires employees dedicated just to manage your component of that. Although they're trying to help that with AI, but we can go back on that. But, you know, from a business to business standpoint, I have to assess like, how hard is it going to be for me to implement this? And is it going to be disruptive to the business reaching customers and maintaining its, you know, or if not necessarily profitability, but if we lose some profitability, at least we know on the other side of it, it's going to increase our profitability later on, right? You really have to have an understanding of the hurdles you're putting in front of your customers and what they need to overcome.
Yeah. You know, we've covered 7 great questions about things that you should be asking about your business. Again, realizing that the answers to these questions may change depending upon the phase of your business, depending upon your own personal passion, depending upon external factors. You know, if everything in your business is exactly the same today as it was in 2019 pre-pandemic, you know, you're out of touch. There's something that you're not doing right because the whole world has changed. If you're even asking about these same questions, even 2 years ago when OpenAI and ChatGPT and all that first came out, you know, you're already behind the eight ball. I think a lot of businesses need to start to realize that these questions are things that you need to check in with on your business, on your team, on your staff regularly. And I mean yearly, if not even more sometimes, because things happen fast.
Yeah. And also, you know, on our end, from an agency standpoint, like there's different sort of approaches that we can take to sort of helping a business. If you're a small business and, you know, you're just starting out, you don't really have the revenue to interact on a large scale with an agency to help you through that stuff, you know, email me. We can consult for an hour and I can, you know, we can walk through some of these questions. The next phase of that would be if your business, if you do have some revenue and can put some more money into consulting, we can actually walk through a whole workshop with you in terms of your discovery workshop and get some of these questions and then provide recommendations for you to, you know, build out those parts of your brand using that information. The third phase would be fully interacting with an agency like ours, where, you know, we'll go through the discovery with you, then we'll take that and we'll build the brand elements for you. And then also, you know, continue to help you build the strategy to reach those customers and ultimately help those customers make an easy purchase decision. There's different ways to go about it. There's no one set solution. And I think the most important thing to remember is that there is help out there. And there's, for the purpose of this discussion, there is human help out there. There is real human help. People who have won and lost in business.
Yep.
There are people out there who are willing to help.
And if somebody who's listening or watching to this podcast at some point now or in the future wants to get a hold of you, maybe something that they're struggling with is the best way. What is the best way for people to reach out to you?
The email I have there on my signature, matt@figureagency.com. That's kind of the easiest way to do it. You can also reach info@figureagency if Matt is too hard to remember. But Matt@figureagency, that's the best thing. And I will do my best to get back to you as quickly as possible. And we can set up a virtual meeting and discuss your things, or actually an in-person if that's important to you as well. And then just kind of see where you're at and where you want to go. And then we'll do our best to help you reach those goals for sure.
I want
to say that, you know, organizations like the Long Beach Chamber of Commerce and the things that Stuart's doing here, I think are all really invaluable tools to any business owner, not just small business owner. Like, these are all, you know, the networking events that they sponsor and promote and organize, all of the online tools that they offer. It's all, these memberships make sense, and they make sense for a business because you can certainly go out and you can network, you can meet other business owners, you can commiserate, you can partner up on stuff. You might have a product that another business that's in this organization needs, and it becomes, you know, business to business. So I support and I appreciate that connection.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us on the Catalyst today. Matt@figureagency.com again is the email address if you want to reach out to him. If you want more information on the Catalyst, this podcast, looking to see what our upcoming schedules are, and when you can participate and how, you can go to lbchamber.com/thecatalyst. Again, lbchamber.com/thecatalyst. But thank you again, Matt, for joining us today. And we're going to catch you again very, very soon.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. And I'm happy to be a part of the inaugural episode of The Catalyst.
Yes, absolutely. Indeed. All righty. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Build smart, move fast, get the edge at last. This is The Catalyst.